Good afternoon and welcome to Aware. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. Joining me today is Gal Sasson. He calls himself a psychoanalyst, which I really find fascinating. He uses cycles and patterns to understand the workings of life, of the universe. He is also a Kabbalah teacher at the Golden Bridge. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks for inviting me.
I've always been fascinated by cycles, I'm inherently fascinated by the way people do the things they do, the way I do the things I do, why. You know, I'm always digging, always wondering. People, governments, America, why do we do the things we do, and how is it related to these cycles?
I think the whole concept of cycles is the concept of waves. And even in modern physics, they tell us that the universe is constructed by waves. And I think that's like almost like the overtone of life is a wave, some sort of a waveform that goes up and then goes down. It's a cycle. And if you look at things anywhere around you, I mean, the most beautiful thing about cycles is that they tend to repeat themselves. And therefore, we can look at the back at the past and see what happened and predict from it the future and then learn from the mistakes of the past towards the future. That's the whole concept of reincarnation, basically.
It doesn't always happen, though, does it?
No, that's why history repeats itself. Whenever history repeats itself, it means one thing. You haven't learned the lesson last time, so here it is again in front of you. Mm. You want to deal with it again? You learned your lesson? Okay, now history is going to change a little bit when it repeats itself. So instead of a circle, you have a spiral. So you come back to the same point because it's a cycle, but you're a little bit higher. And then you form a spiral going up instead of like a circle repeating itself again and again. Again, I get myself divorced after 10 years. Again, I'm having this confrontation with my boss about the same concept, the same issues, even though I've changed bosses and changed work.
Are we really meant to figure them out, though, Gal? I mean, think about cycles of the body. The body regenerates itself, new skin every 30 days. The whole body regenerates itself every 120 days. Isn't that better? Isn't that a chance to start over? Isn't it a renewal?
I think repetition is part of the most important thing in nature.
One cell
becomes two cells, becomes three cells. But what is the other concept that we have in Mother Nature, in evolution, and even the theory of evolution? We have this concept called mutations. So every once in a while, something goes wrong, supposedly, in the cycle, which creates usually a situation where the organism is not that fit. But every once in a while, that mistake supposedly takes us to the next stage. That's why we're not amoebas anymore floating in a shallow pool, but we are human beings. So we have to respect the fact that, yeah, cycles are really important and repetition is very valuable. But every once in a while, we have to have a little space for magic, and magic is mutation. And that mutation is a certain lesson that can take you to the next level.
True, it is. And in a way, though, I think that there's a lot to be learned from nature. It always teaches us so much about our lives, that beautiful balance that nature just automatically creates, and that nurturing ability that nature has. Mother Nature is a very interesting analogy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just recently learning a new respect for that. As I am a mother, I am learning the respect for the Mother Earth and the analogies and redefining me as a mother. Which
right.
is, you know, huge. It's very, very new. God bless you, our engineer just sneezed. tell us a little bit about the cycle of crises in America, our cycles of war, our cycles of government. Assassinations even have cycles, believe it or not.
You know, they talk a lot about, when we talk about cycles, my way of looking at cycles is in many forms. You know, music has cycles with notes, of course, and verses. The most interesting cycles for me is to study the cycles of the planets around us, because people forget that we're not here alone. Mother Nature, with all due respect, is part of her own family. The family members of the Mother Nature is the sun, the moon, and so forth. So a lot of time, by looking at the cycles that are happening above us, we can really understand what's happening inside of us. Because I believe that astrology is based on as above, so below. It's not that the planets influence us. We influence the planets just as much. I'm sure that Mars is up there looking what we're doing right now and deciding how his day is going to be. You know what I mean? It's a certain kind of correlation, much more than, oh my God, Mars is in Aries, that means war. No,
mm-hmm.
You know, Mars is experiencing the same thing that we're experiencing at the same time. I believe the planets are like monitors, huge monitors, to explain to us or to show to us who we are. And what is happening right now is that once in 29 and a half years, Saturn, which is considered to be the most important planet in understanding things in Kabbalah, in the Tree of Life, Saturn is connected to understanding. Whenever you need to understand something, something usually wrong happens around you or something out of the ordinary that forces you to understand, to crystallize some understanding. And what is happening now is that Saturn has moved over to Cancer. It happened from June. Before that, it was in Gemini. So, for example, when Saturn was in Gemini, the whole concept, the whole idea, archetype of Gemini was hit. So, for example, if you look at the news, that's when the Twin Towers fell. You know, because the Twin Towers were these twins, this very powerful symbolic energy of the twins. It's commerce, trade, which is all about Gemini. So now Saturn moved into Cancer, which is much more feminine, much more feeling-oriented, much more family, more concerned with security.
Really?
And Cancer also happened to be the sign of the United States and happened to be the sign of Bush, George W. Bush.
Oh, really?
So it's a time where America has to redefine its identity. And it happens every 29 and a half years.
How long does this last for?
2 more years. So for 2 more years, you will see things like the homeland security. Again, home is Cancer. Security is that fear that Saturn introduces in people, because Saturn is all about dealing with your fears. But the way you deal with fear is letting the fears surface. So what is happening now is America is going through some sort of a panic attack, you can say. And it's interesting because in Kabbalah, for example, Cancer is related to the Hebrew letter Chet, which means a wall. It's an ancient glyph of a wall. So it's almost as if the United States is fortifying itself, building literal walls, you know, defining its shell all over again, which happens to crabs every once in a while. They look for a new shell.
Mm. It's interesting because could it also be analogous to people having shells and walls around them?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing. Going back to the cycles, through this year, 2003, and we're looking back through, you know, as we're approaching the end of the year, we've gone through these waves of these cycles. Have you noticed anything specifically this year?
Yeah, I mean, like for those of you that remember two Saturdays ago, I think it was two Saturdays ago.
Oh, yeah, the harmonic.
There was a major harmonic thing, yeah, mm-hmm. that happened. Like supposedly last time it happened is when King David was born, and that's why the six-pointed star was named after King David chart.
Uh-huh.
Formation.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
and
right.
These little things are very, very important. These like alignments that happen every once in a while. And people feel it. They don't always know why they feel certain things, but they feel it. But the most important thing was in August when Mars came the closest it's ever been to the world in the last 60,000
right.
years. The last time it happened is when humanoids started leaving Africa. So the way I see it is something is happening now for us to start living the Earth, in a sense. You know what I mean? Like last time it happened, we left Mother Africa. Now maybe it's time for us to look beyond Mother Earth, you know? So it's a whole leap of development for humanity. But of course, it's not going to take like 3 months. Oh my God, nothing happened. So that means it didn't work. You have to wait a little bit.
What do you mean look beyond Mother Earth?
Look beyond Mother Earth is realize that we are in a system. You know, like in the past, psychologists used to deal only with the people that had symptoms. For example, you had a child that was acting out, so the psychologist will try to fix him, not realizing that the boy is just part of a system and he has to deal with the mother, the father, the grandmother, and maybe even the ancestors. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's time for us to realize that it's not only about humans themselves, but it's all about humans and all sentient beings in the planet. But it's not only about the planet itself, it's also looking around. Because, you know, for example, how much we trash the space. We started sending stuff out there, you know, like
right.
our garbage. Like the space now became our backyard. We can throw garbage, but there's nobody to collect it. The people that have to collect it is us or our friends, the aliens, if they decide to do that. You know what I mean? So we have to start looking at ourselves in a bigger picture. And I think that also will lead eventually to more space exploration.
Well, yeah, it'd be almost impossible to clean all that stuff up unless we have more exploration so that mm-hmm. we can learn how to do stuff like that. I mean, there are floating, major floating particles of metal and debris in space that it's very telling. Going back to your concept about the cycles of this year and how we were in a kind of dramatic phase in the beginning of the year, and you're saying we're moving towards family, more towards family now.
Mm-hmm.
And more towards the Mother Earth? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I would say much more towards actually the oceans. Cancer, the symbolism of Cancer is compassion, unconditioned love, motherhood, family, nurturing.
But this is the worst governmental organization for our environment in history.
Right.
There has been more reversals, and there hasn't been an endangered species that has been recorded since Bush has been in session. I mean, this is the worst regime that we've ever had for our environment. How
that makes
does
total
the juxtaposition help?
Yeah, because when Saturn is in Cancer, Saturn is equalized. You can say that Saturn equals restrictions, problems, focus, frustration, karma. And Cancer means the energy that we described before, like nurturing, Mother Nature, Earth. What happened now is that you put those two things together. Astrology is like a formula, spiritual formulas. So you get, okay, now the whole concept of Cancer is being restricted. Why? Focused. Why? So we can deal with it. In what way? So we can understand that. So the only way for us to do it is to put it in the worst situation for us to understand what it's all about. It's like when you go to the gym and you want to work on your arms, so you do a lot of workout that relates to the muscles of the arms, then you're going to feel it all day. And then you're going to understand how your arm works. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening right now. That's why we have this regime that is ruled by a Cancer. And Bush's sun is right on top of America's sun in the natal chart. So it's conjuncting, which means that everything that happens to the United States is happening now to Bush. And that makes sense. You know, but again, I think it's a cycle. So it's going to be restriction like a string. And out of this will come a great expansion. But it's probably going to take a little bit longer.
And does it validate the power going back into the hands of the people? Because really, these grassroots organizations and the people powered movements are the ones that are excelling and helping the environment more than this regime ever could.
And that could be why, you know, we maybe are used to having regimes take care of us. And maybe because of this regime, we start realizing, okay, we have to do it ourselves. So we better start using our talents and even be pushed much more. So historically speaking, maybe this regime that is now being scorned for not being too much conscious will cause such a surfacing of consciousness from other people that will be considered to be the point where consciousness started taking over. You know what I mean?
It's funny how things balance themselves out, isn't it?
It's out of darkness that light comes.
Yes.
You know?
And I like that concept because it gives us hope and doesn't allow us to put a lot of our energy into blame and into these daunting statistics. It gives us another direction to look.
Yeah.
And knowing that this is the way it's supposed to be.
And I would like recommend for all people, instead of too much fighting the government or opposing the government or wasting time on writing about the government, just to write about positive things, not about the government, but to start creating, you know, instead of like scorning or putting the finger on the government. Okay, the government is not there, so come on, get out of it. You know, it's like, get over it. It's like a child that always blames his mother, and that's why I messed up. Okay, we know that. Good. So now can you start working on yourself?
But, Gal, what about things that are constantly going on, like world hunger and poverty and abuse and rape and murder?
We have to do our best to fix it ourselves. And I think that's part of what is called in the grand cycles in astrology, the age of Aquarius, or in Kabbalah, the age of the Messiah, or the age of the Shabbat. You know, it's the time now that power is being given to the people, away from the government, actually. So it's time for the people to start making the change, you know, start moving.
I'm speaking with Kabbalah teacher Gal Sassoni. He has a great book called A Wish Can Change Your Life. And tell us a little bit about your book.
Yeah, the book is based on a workshop. It's co-written with Steve Weinstein, who came to my classes, and we started transcribing the classes into this book. It's published by Simon and Schuster, and it was endorsed by the Dalai Lama, which was a great honor for me.
I noticed. That's wonderful.
And the book basically teaches people how to use the ancient wisdom of Kabbalah, which for some people is very mysterious, but actually it's very straightforward and simple, in order to change people's life, in order to make some difference in life. And it's programmed in a way that you can read the book in 10 weeks, each chapter a week, and you engulf yourself, or you submerge yourself in these 10 archetypes, that eventually you follow the footsteps of God in creating the universe. Because according to Kabbalah, God used these 10 steps to create the universe, and since we are in the image of God, we also can create whatever we need in our universe.
Give us an idea of what that might be, those 10 steps, just an idea.
For example, if you want to create, if you want to have a new business, for example. So in the crown, which is this first, the first sphere, the first archetype, you have to have a general idea of what it is that you want to create. In wisdom, which is intuition, you start getting messages from the universe, what your store, what your business has to be. In understanding, which is what we discussed here, Saturn, you have to be much more pragmatic and write a business plan. Then in mercy, you have to like just open yourself up to all the opportunities that the universe provides you. Then in severity, it's the counter energy to that. You have to start cutting away because too many options. If you write a book, for example, too many chapters, it's too long. Okay, let's cut, let's edit. Then there is an archetype called beauty, which is the balancing source. You start balancing yourself. You start balancing whatever it is that the universe gave you and whatever you were cutting. Then in eternity, it's another sphere, you repeat the things that were working very well for you. That's Mother Nature's sphere, for example. She repeats. Then in the next one, which is splendor, you start writing and communicating and marketing whatever you're working on. Then in foundation, there is a moment of death and transformation. And then kingdom is the fulfillment of your wish, fulfillment of your business. And this can be applied to everything. I mean, people have been doing this workshop for like 6 years. And you can go to the website, awishcanchangeyourlife.com. And you'll see examples from people. You'll see quite a lot of information of people that have been doing this journey.
Now, it's a journey of life, but it also appeals, as you were relating it, to business. It can relate to relationships, how a relationship mm-hmm. can go through every single one of those phases.
Precisely.
It can relate to even raising a child, because eventually you have to let them go, and that's mm-hmm. what you do when you get to that place of fulfillment and so forth. It can relate to all sorts of things. But you said it's a workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach it every Monday at the Golden Bridge.
Oh, this is the workshop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
now, in your book, you also refer to the Tree of Life, mm-hmm. and you just talked about it a little bit earlier. What is that, and how does it relate to the teachings that you teach?
You know, the amazing thing about trees is that if you look at all religions, and that was my study, basically. I looked at all religion to see what do they agree on. Because I know, I grew up in Israel. I know very well what they disagree about. They make themselves very clear about the disagreement. But what they agree about is that in the center of the universe, Axis Mundi, what is called in alchemy, there is standing still the Tree of Life. So in the Buddha, in Buddhism, for example, it's the Bodhi tree under which the Buddha attained enlightenment. In Christianity, according to the Christian myth, Christ was sacrificed on the wood made of the Tree of Life. In Islam, Ishmael, the forefather of all Islam, was saved by the Tree of Life. In the Norse tradition, Odin hung himself from the Tree of Life, Yggdrasil. So the Tree of Life is the center of all religion. And the reason why is, I think, because trees teach us the ultimate connection between giving and receiving. They receive the light, and they receive water and mineral from the earth, and they manage to do this photosynthesis, which means the creation of life, and they give us air, they give us the prana, they give us the Holy Ghost. And the beautiful thing about trees is that what you see above is equal to what you see below. So the higher the tree goes, the lower the roots reach. Mm-hmm. The higher you go to light, the lower you need to go into the subconscious, into darkness. So trees are the ultimate teachers and have been for millions and millions of years. And what Kabbalah did is take the tree and try to understand it in a metaphysical way to create this big, powerful connection between the above and the below. And that's what basically I do with the book and the workshop.
Now, you also have more of a symbolism around trees. I mean, you have a whole program where you mm-hmm. plant trees as a spiritual anchor.
Yeah.
And there's a whole forest.
Yeah, it's called the Tree of Life Grove. And you can go to treeoflifegrove.org, and American Forest start working with us and create this special grove in North California where all the people that donate the money from the book or from the workshop goes there. And now we have 4,000 trees already, and we just started the program. So it's very exciting because, you know, I figured I talk so much about trees and mythology trees, spiritual trees. In the workshop, we do a lot of astral work with trees. But what about the real trees?
Right.
So I figured, okay, as above, so below. So we do a lot of work in the above. We need to do it below. So we better start planting trees.
Now, is the I call it a wish forest, the mm-hmm. forest of wishes.
That's a great name.
It's something that you can give to other people. So mm-hmm. if, say, someone has a life-threatening illness and you want to give them a gift, and this is something that continues to give back to them.
Right.
Do you get information from your tree? I mean, is it like... supported tree?
I think it's like it's your anchor to Mother Nature. You know what I mean? It's like an antenna, or it's like a plug that you yourself, by donating the money or by being conscious of the fact that you planted the tree, that you've created a tree, either in the astral plane or here and now, it creates like a link from the above to below. And the trees are ultimate, you know, creatures of health.
A very nice grounding cord, you know. A very good idea. And I don't know, I have this vision of the tree sending you emails. I'm going with that.
That's a nice concept.
This is an email from your tree. Are you grounded today?
You know, I think in meditations you can download a lot of information from trees.
Messages from your tree.
Totally.
It's the next title of your book. Messages from your tree. I was going to ask you about Kabbalah and about how Kabbalah relates to Judaism and these concepts of religions. Now, what Gal Sassone is talking about doesn't rely on any type of religion. You're talking about just life,
right?
Universal philosophies.
Yeah, because I use the tree of life as an umbrella for many religions. For example, there's one chapter where I talk about Christ. There's one chapter that I talk about the Dalai Lama. Another chapter I talk about Mercury and Hermes. Another chapter about the Yoruba tribes and the pagans. Because I think the tree of life can grow anywhere. There's trees all over the world.
I have a question. What is the deal with all of these religions being based on suffering? Why do these religions have to base everything on hanging from the cross and suffering from everybody dying and being killed? And what is that?
Because they come to answer the questions of suffering. You know, Einstein had a great article that he wrote about religion and science. And he said that a lot of the religions came out of fear. There was suddenly a storm for the people in living in the cave, and they wanted to control the storm. And the only way to control the storm, because it's pretty strong, is to go out there and pray to a rock and ask the great rock to stop the storm. And if they prayed long enough and eventually the storm stopped, and they say, great, this is the right prayer because it worked, you know.
Right.
And it started evolving. But later on, greater people took that concept of religion and started diving deeper, doing a lot of inner work instead of outer work. Instead of destroying the storm outside, looking at the storm inside. These are people like the Buddha, like Moses, like Christ, like Muhammad. So I think what we have with the concept of suffering is that there is a need to explain suffering. If God is all beautiful and all good, why do we suffer? So then there is have to be some sort of a change of the concept of suffering. I think that's why Judaism has evolved into Kabbalah. Because what happened around the Middle Ages, or from the time that the Roman took over, basically, Israel, like 70 AD, what happened is that Jews really suffered, were driven away from one place to another. And they had to come up with some sort of a solution. Like, listen, if we're the chosen people, right, and God loves us, why the hell are we suffering so much? You know what I mean?
Being killed and driven out of
everywhere. This is ridiculous. Yeah. This totally doesn't make sense. So they came up with a concept of Kabbalah. And Kabbalah in Hebrew means to receive and to accept. And what Kabbalah teaches you is how to accept life and love it anyway, and to go into the higher realms to find the real reasoning behind the problems, like karma, like past lifetime issues, and so forth. And what Kabbalah teaches you is how to receive more light in order to give back life. Mm-hmm. How to receive more money to give back more money. How to be healthy to make other people heal.
Do you have a school for kids?
I'm working on it.
You are?
Yeah.
Because I remember there being that in the works a long time ago. I think I read something about that, teaching children the philosophies of, as they're growing up and being impressionable.
Right.
About creating your life and about
changing your life from inside. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would really love to invite anybody that can come on. You can check out all the book signing at awishcanchangeyourlife.com. But I'm going to have it at the Bodhi Tree at December 16th, and I'm going to dedicate it to the holidays, to Hanukkah and Christmas. So the book signing with connection to the holidays of light. And that's going to be December 16th at 7:30 at the Bodhi Tree in 8585 Melrose. And another book signing for those of you who are a little bit more towards Calabasas and Malibu is Saturday, November 29th at 7 p.m. And again, all the
Where's
address...
That?
25154 Mulholland Highway in Malibu. But the best way is to go online, awishcanchangeyourlife.com, and get the directions and all that.
Okay, well, you can also find all that stuff at our website, which is theawareshow.com, and we have links to all your stuff there as well.
That's great.
Now, you have a connection to music. You have the CD that you have, The Alchemy of Sound. What is your connection with music? And I want to go out with playing some of this music.
I just try to look into the similarity between tradition, musically speaking. Mm-hmm. And I have a studio at home, and I work with a lot of shamans, a lot of singers, gypsies, acrobats, dancers. And that's why in the book signings we always have acrobats and musicians come, because these are all my friends. And to show how Muslim music goes well with gypsy music, goes well with Santeria music and Kabbalah music. So the CD is just to show that precisely what the book does, that everything is the same, everything is one.
We're going to hear a track from the CD. What is the one we're going to be hearing?
It's called Bendición, and this is a live ritual that I actually recorded in Botanica, which is a temple for Santeria, and it's an Afro-Cuban religion. And this woman, Sabrina, who's a very good friend of mine, an incredible healer, I recorded her doing it live on the mini disc, and then I came home and I recorded on top of it some other stuff, my voice and music. And the interesting thing that happened is that while we were doing the ritual, her grandson, who is like 2.5 years old, came there in the middle of the circle and started turning and turning like a Sufi, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then he rolled his eyes back and fell down on the floor, flat on the floor. And you'll hear clapping and you'll hear him fall. And then he started kissing everybody's feet and laughing. And they were like embarrassed because they come here to be cleansed by the high priestess. And here her grandson, who is supposed to be a reincarnation of a great shaman, kissing all of their feet, like in a very humble way. And then you hear in the track Sabrina laughing and saying in Spanish, the spirit took him. He's too small to receive so much energy. So that's a beautiful live documented moment of light.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Well, it's interesting to document something like that. Well, okay, well, we're going to hear this music as we go out. But Gal Sassone is my guest. And the website, again, you can reach him at is wishcanchangeyourlife.com.
Awishcanchangeyourlife.com, yeah.
Okay. And you can learn about how the ancient wisdom of Kabbalah can help you understand cycles in life, understand the universe. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much universal. It's not necessarily specific to this particular religion, but it's a very universal philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very, very much.
It's a great conversation.
Yeah.
All right. Gal Sassone.
Tutto, tutto, molto, tutto, 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 tut